Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Magic Software Enterprises Ltd. 2018 third quarter financial results conference call. With us on the line today are Magic CEO, Mr. Guy Bernstein, Magic CFO, Mr. Asaf Bernstein, Magic Software Division VP of Technology and Innovation, Mr. Yuval Lavi, and Magic's VP, M&A, and General Counsel, Mr. Amit Burke. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Amit Burke of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good day, everyone. Our quarterly earnings release was issued before the market opened this morning, and it has been posted on the company's website at www.magicsoftware.com. Before we start, I would like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements. The safe harbor provision provided in the press release issued today also applied to the content of this call. Magic expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise any of these forward-looking statements, whether because of future events, new information, a change in its view or expectations, or otherwise. Also, during the course of this call, we will refer to non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation schedule showing GAAP versus non-GAAP results has been provided in the press release issued before the market opened this morning. A replay of this call will be available after the call on our investor relations section of the company's website. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Guy Bernstein, CEO of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today as we report our third quarter 2018 financial results. We are pleased to report another strong quarter as we continue our forward momentum with consistent year-over-year double-digit organic growth in our revenues, operating income, and net income, which clearly demonstrates the solid execution of our well-defined corporate strategy. Our Q3 revenues for 2018 reached a record-breaking $72.1 million, reflecting 10% year-over-year growth. Non-GAAP operating income also increased 10% year-over-year to record-breaking $10 million for the quarter. The third quarter, which included the summer months and the Jewish holidays, was particularly challenging, and therefore we are proud to see an increase of approximately 9% in revenues from software and value-added services in Israel and a 10% increase in overall revenues. We continue to strengthen our competitive advantages with the development of products and solutions while gaining new customers and expanding our business with existing customers, allowing us to build on a strong foundation and to achieve ongoing growth. Now I would like to turn on the call over to Asaf, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the financial results in more detail. Asaf, please.
Thank you, Guy. Good morning, everyone. Our third quarter revenues totaled $72.1 million compared to $65.7 million for the third quarter last year, reflecting 10% year-over-year growth driven almost exclusively by our organic expansion, with all of the growth resulting from our professional services offering, while on a year-to-date basis, 90% of the growth resulted from the sale of professional services and 10% from the sale of our software solution. Looking at the geographical breakdown of our revenues during the third quarter, North America accounted for 53% of total revenues, Israel 34%, Europe 8%, and APAC and the rest of the world accounted for 5% of our revenues. Most of our growth in 2018 in absolute numbers was from North America and Israel, which continued to be our strongest territories. North America accounted for 70% of our growth in the third quarter, and Israel for 28%, and on a nine-month basis, North America accounted for 52% of the growth, and Israel for 43%. Turning now to profitability, our non-GAAP gross profit for the third quarter of 2018 was $22.9 million, up approximately 1% compared to $22.8 million in the third quarter of last year. Our non-GAAP gross margin decreased to 31.8% compared to 34.7% in the third quarter of last year. The decrease in gross margin was mainly attributable to the increase in CVS rebate rates year-over-year, which amounted to $1.6 million compared to $900,000 in the same quarter last year, and the negative impact of the summer month and September, where we had fewer working days due to the Jewish New Year holidays. The breakdown of our revenue mix for the third quarter of 2018 was approximately 27% related to our software solution and 73% related to our professional services, compared to 30% related to our software solution and 70% related to our professional services in 2017 as a whole. Moving to operational costs, R&D expenses on a non-GAAP basis in the third quarter of 2018 totaled $2.1 million compared to $2.5 million in the same quarter of last year. The decrease in R&D expenses is due to a shift of development projects to our offshore sites in India and St. Petersburg, and to the release of our newest Magic XPA 4.0 Angular-based web application framework version and our Magic XPI 4.7 version during the first half of 2018. Our non-GAAP operating income for the third quarter increased 10% to $10 million compared to $9.1 million in the same period last year. This reflects an operating margin of 13.8% for this quarter, with no change compared to the third quarter of 2017 and compared to 14% in the second quarter of 2018. As I described earlier on the call, our operating margin was negatively impacted by the summer month and the Jewish New Year holiday. Our non-GAAP tax expenses this quarter totaled $1.6 million compared to a tax expense of $2.1 million in the third quarter of 2017. Our effective tax rate for the first 9 months of 2018 and 2017 was approximately 18.4% compared to 21.3% in the 2017 as a whole. We estimate that our effective tax rate for the full year of 2018 will range between 20 and 21%. Our non-GAAP net income for the third quarter increased 30% to $6.8 million or 14 cents per fully diluted share, compared to $5.2 million or 12 cents per fully diluted share in the same period last year. The increase in our net income is consistent with the increase in our revenues and operating profits. Our EPS for the quarter was negatively impacted by an amount of 1 cent per fully diluted share, resulting from the issuance of 4.3 million shares at a price of $8.2 per share in a private placement for net proceeds of approximately $34.5 million to certain Israeli institutional investors and to Formula Systems, our controlling shareholder. We intend to issue the net proceeds of the offering to support our continued organic growth momentum and funding of potential acquisitions. Turning now to the balance sheet, as of September 30, 2018, cash and cash equivalent short-term and long-term bank deposit and marketable securities amounted to approximately $120.2 million compared to approximately $90.9 million at the end of 2017. Our total financial debt as of September 30 amounted to $34.1 million compared to $34.8 million at the end of the second quarter of 2018. From a cash flow perspective, we generated $4.2 million from operating activities in the third quarter and $20.3 million during the first 9 months of this year. With that, I will turn the call back to Guy for closing comments. Guy.
Thank you, Asaf. In summary, we are pleased once again to report record-breaking results based on organic growth, reflecting the solid demand for our software solutions and professional services, which serve to help our customers on their digital transformation journey. We continue working towards building closer client relationships, investing in those relationships, and building a strong foundation for growth, and we look forward to ending the year with even more positive results. With that, we'll now turn the call over to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavy. Thank you for taking my question. Regarding the gross margin, we see the reduction both Q over Q and year over year following the same quarter last quarter. Could you comment a little more on the mix, the revenue mix, and how you see it going forward?
Yeah, as we said, in opposed to 2017 as a whole, where we were 30% of our business was based on our software solution and technology, and 70% was based on the on professional service offering. In 2018, for the 9 months, we are at 27%, so from sale of technology. So this is a slight decline in the growth compared to the more significant growth that we experienced in the professional services. In that sense, the mix of our revenues caused the devaluations of our gross margin. But in absolute numbers, of course, the company continues to grow on its gross profit and on its operating level. And we also managed to benefit from the structure of the company and still maintain our 14% operating profit level, operating margins level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And last quarter on the call, you gave a lot of color on the partnership with Microsoft and how it could be mutually beneficial. Can you comment on any customer traction so far and if it's meeting your expectations?
I think the customer attraction is quite positive as we see it in the market. It's still an early age of the partnership, but we are pushing now to the gold partnership level with Microsoft, and it should be released. We should have a PR on that quite soon. And we do see already other partners of Microsoft approaching us for mutual offering in the market, so we feel positive that this is going to take us forward in a serious way.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Maggie Nolan of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to check in on expectations for the fourth quarter and if the full year expectations for the top line have changed. You know, given the third quarter performance or anything that you're seeing in the fourth quarter here?
No, currently we don't see any reason to change it. I think we'll be in line with the range that we gave.
Okay, great. And then it seems like you've seen a pickup in the amount of digital transformation work that you're doing. And how much of your revenue is really tied up with that type of engagement? And can you give us a sense for what the margin is of that type of work, maybe compared to the overall company average?
No, but it varies between the you know the projects. In some of the projects, we are just providing services. In some of the projects, we are taking full responsibility. So it's quite different between you know customer between one customer to the other. But all in all, you see that I think probably 70-80% of the customers are preparing for this transformation because it's, they see it's coming.
Yeah, and we can say also it's a huge trend that we see again in the market that is pointing back to our long-life product of low-code application platform, and this is where we see a new blooming period for the concept of low-code application platform, especially hand-in-hand with our latest release of our Angular front-end, which is actually hitting the targets of digital transformation in the enterprise.
Okay, understood. And then have you seen as a result any change in the contract sizes or contract lengths? And then, you know, kind of building on that, can you give us some color on how the pipeline looks, maybe with those two aspects in mind as well?
We definitely see that projects that were planned for a period of time are being expanded.
And the pipeline?
And, you know, this company has like probably 80% of the businesses between recurring and repeated business, so nothing has changed.
Okay, understood. And then last one for me, just wanted to hear your thoughts on kind of what is a normalized SG&A level going forward. Seems like it's been a little bit lower the last couple of quarters, perhaps balancing out some of the the decline that we've seen in gross margin. But I know you've also talked about in the past about, you know, efforts to hire additional salespeople. So kind of wanted to hear about the balance between those two dynamics and where you expect SG&A to land as a percentage of revenue going forward.
I think that basically I don't expect any significant change in the SG&A as a percentage of our revenues. We always manage to and try to keep the level of profitability of the company at least the 14% level, and we managed to do it for some quite time. In terms of our growth, it is also being reflected by the increase of our personnel. If we started the year with around 2,000 employees, we are closing the 9 months period with around 2,200 employees. It's true that most of the increase is coming from additional professional service experts, but also on the front end of salespeople, we grew around 8%, recruiting additional 30 new salespeople to the team, and this is what we also contributes to the increase in revenues that we experience, and we intend to keep that momentum also in 2019.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
The next question is from Kevin Didi of HCW. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for taking the question. Asaf, I missed a couple of numbers just because it's really early for me and I had a long flight yesterday. So sorry about that. You said that your mix was 53% North America, 8% Europe, 5% rest of the world, but I missed Israel.
34%.
Okay. Then you also said Israel contributed in absolute numbers to 28% of the growth, but and you said 50-something for the U.S. I missed that one, too.
Yes, you're correct.
It's plain 50 for growth in the U.S.?
It's 52% for the U.S. and 28%. 52. And 28%.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. I was wondering if there was any way to characterize what you think the September quarter would have looked like had there not been such excessive seasonality in Europe and with the Israeli holidays.
I think it's a big number. Because if you look, you know, between August and September, I think in September we had six working days versus 22 or, you know, in regular month.
I'm sorry, guys. So you think there were 7 working days in September?
Six working days in September.
Instead of regular 20 days that you have in a full month, in a regular full month.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. The other thing that I guess is just interesting to me is the change in the mix, and I was wondering if you could just take a step back and give us a little more color on that. Granted, the 70-30 has been pretty consistent for years, and just to see the software sales come down a little bit, I'm wondering what you think is causing that. Is it just that it's stable, it just hasn't been growing as quickly, or do you think there's been a change in the type of software that people are looking to you to supply?
I can tell you that in certain aspects, we do see customers preferring a subscription-based model rather than perpetual sale of licenses. Again, this hasn't had a significant influence on our revenues yet because it's not something that is to a significant extent in the company. But we do see customers that are reflecting on moving from perpetual-based licenses to term-based licenses and to subscription model on that aspect. In the aspect of the growth that we experience, we do currently still experience a higher growth rate in the professional services, around 12 and 13%, for the Q and for the 9 months versus around 6% or 7% for the technology from beginning of the year, and pretty stagnant in the third quarter of 2018 versus last year. Still growing by the 6% on the technology side versus 13% of the professional service side, we managed to contribute 30% of the, almost 40% actually, of the increase in our operating profits for the year versus only 60% on the professional services. So although the professional services on the top line are increasing quite higher, still on the profit level, we get much more contribution on the sales of technology. Our margins on the sale of technology that we get are approximately 85 to 90%. Our average professional service gross margin that we get is between 20-21%. And as we said in this quarter of 2018, on the third quarter, that margin even on the professional services even went down to 18.5-19% because of the holidays in the summer months, which we expect to recuperate in the fourth quarter.
Wow, Asaf. Okay, great. That's a great view. So thank you very much. Can we talk a little bit more about the move to subscription? It's not necessarily clear to me how that, how that changes profitability and how it changes revenue recognition. Can you just talk to that a little bit? I mean, you're seeing the people, you know, your customers make this switch, and I guess what the contracts have the stipulated length of time. Most of them are renewed. I'd understand that. But I just want to make sure I understand how the revenue needle changes.
So basically, when you have a perpetual sale of license, you get, you know, one lump sum of revenues, and on top of that, we get the 20-22% of the maintenance support going forward. When we do a subscription-based model, for example, in the web application version that we just now released, the payment is based on a return on investment of 2.5 to 3 years, in opposed to a regular perpetual a sale of license. So again, because this version was only released during the first half of 2000, at the late part, the last part of the first half of 2018, we still don't see any impact on that. But on that aspect, it should be an incremental revenue for the company, but not as material as if you would have sold a perpetual license.
Right. Okay. Can we also talk about the types of projects? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that many of your customers were trying to push to mobile, and I'm wondering if you're seeing much of that yet, or still, rather, and whether or not you think most of your customer focus is in trying to drive, you know, cloud-based solutions and integration.
We see, again, I think the mobile development is less focused now in the market. It's actually, again, we're in the market of buzzwords, so the digital transformation is the leader now, and regardless to what device I'm going to put it, either in the desktop, the tablet, or the laptop, so it's kind of an omni solution, okay? And yes, definitely we see, especially in our companies like the software companies that are working with us, the vendors that are going through a cloud solution for themselves, and this is pushing them also for the pricing model based on subscription and also the use of web technology and cloud enablement technology. And the enterprise that are our customers, some of them are pushing to the cloud and some of them are staying on-premise. Again, all of them are looking into some kind of a web-based solution, either mobile or desktop, but we look at it as a non-issue since we are looking into the Angular-based development, et cetera, which is regardless to the end device that is using it.
Okay. Just a little more on that. Can Can you talk specifically about where you see those, I guess those initiatives the most? Is it still dominated in the U.S., or is it starting to gravitate to Europe, you know, especially in that medium-sized, small-sized enterprise space?
I think we see it both in Europe and in the U.S., but maybe the U.S. is a little bit more leading in the area of a cloud solution and a SaaS solution. So we definitely see all our ISVs are looking to provide some way of a SaaS offering to their customers, and this is where it goes hand in hand with our offering.
Okay. Can you give us a little insight on, I mean, I know that the employment level here in the U.S. is getting pretty tough to find, you know, practice technology people. I mean, at least that's what we keep hearing. And I'm wondering what your experience has been. Are you still able to find the people that you need? Granted, based on Asaf's comments, your employee count went up about 10%. And I apologize, I missed the time frame on that. Was that through the course of this year or?
Yeah, from the beginning of the year.
Oh, from the beginning of the year. Okay. Is there any, you know, are you finding a tough time trying to get the people that you need or keep the people that you need? And are you finding that given there's a little impact on, you know, professional service margin on the, given the, you know, the loss of working days, but I'm just wondering if you're seeing pressure on wages too in order to keep the people that you need.
I think that this is a struggle that not only companies, that every company is basically dealing. It's not something that is also relevant to the state. It's relevant to all of the markets that we operate in, especially, as we said, in the Israeli and the U.S. market, which are markets that they operate in. We manage to balance this challenge by the fact that we get a very good demand, a very high demand for new projects. We get confidence from our customers on our delivery, which allows us also to increase penetration and expand the revenues that we generate from our existing customers. And with that, we manage again to make life interesting also to our employees. We utilize the different development and project delivery methods in order to allow our employees to work in parallel, I would say, or in a short period of time over several different projects with several different customers and different aspects to make their lives again more interesting and again to improve their professionality. So this is how we tackle the issue of having people, you know, stay with the company for a long period of time.
Just back to the Angular solution for my last question, Can you give us a little more insight on how you see customers reacting to that? And I guess, whether or not you're seeing a lot of other competitive firms offer similar type of solution through Microsoft?
No. Again, I think the market, from our experience, and since we are addressing the immediate we didn't even approach recruiting new customers. So we are going to existing customer, and the feedback is amazing. I mean, the people jumping on it, even though it's the first version, and we are coming up at the end of this month with another release of the version. But the reaction in the market is great, and we're already seeing quite a lot of new projects being implemented if it's the level of the POC or actually level of going into production. And this is very, very reassuring for us.
As far as other platforms, actually, I think Microsoft doesn't even have an offering in this area, and this is something that we are looking now to actually go together and kind of come with a joint offering, but it's really, really in early stages, is to come to a joint offering in Azure environment for a low-code application platform based on our technology and Microsoft infrastructure. As far as other companies that that offer, I think we are getting a huge backwind from Angular, because Angular is being adopted, highly adopted by the market. There are over 1 million developers in the community at the moment, and it's keep on growing. So it's kind of being a magic word. The minute that you mention that you have an Angular offering, the customer is saying, "Oh, we are actually looking to it. This actually, we want that." So it's a huge help for us, the fact that we choose Angular as our first released version. We are looking into the future, also looking and releasing React or Vue or other front-end clients and framework in our offering.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. The advantages really are just that it's easier to code, right? I mean, if you just take a look at it from the 20,000 foot perspective.
Yeah, the idea at the end of the day, if you look at the web application development over the years, the lines of code just grew dramatically from a few thousand lines of code per application to a million and more lines of code per application, and this is unmanageable and it's not realistic really to deliver solution based on that, and we are kind of making a dramatic cut of the lines of code that you need to maintain in your Angular solution, but still have all the freedom and the power of Angular and fully UI that you want to implement in the web. So we taking our paradigm of low code development and ease of development and ease of maintenance, and bringing it to the world of web and amazing UI and responsive UI. Okay, so we feel that we have the good formula that a developer slash an enterprise need to deliver support for their digital transformation.
So what's sort of the next step, you think? I mean, given you re-upped your partnership with SAP, you've got a great relationship with Microsoft, it's developing. Where do you stand with Oracle? How else do you build the marketing side, so more small, medium enterprise businesses understand your capabilities?
I think as far as partnership, we're partnering with everyone. I think the biggest trend that we can see in the market in the last 5 years or so is partnering. Okay, all the competitors are competing and partnering. Google and Microsoft are competing and partnering, and everybody. And we're doing the same. At the end of the day, we're in one end we're competing, on the other end we are partnering, and we're all looking to bring the best offering that we can to the potential customer. Partnering up is part of our strategy.
Okay, I understand clearly. Not a problem. I'm just curious about how are you going to build exposure in the end market, right? I know you count on your ISVs, but I'm wondering how you can help support them in their effort in presenting your solution, especially given that, you know, you've got some powerful tools.
Again, I think we are running, for instance, with Microsoft, we are partnering with Microsoft and with the partner-to-partner program that they have. Just going into a joint offering to the potential customers. So this is in one hand. On the other hand, where we're going to a smaller ISVs, we're doing a direct sales and a direct marketing, and we are counting on them to actually adopt our platform. We are looking to provide down the road a cloud solution, a SaaS solution that will allow actually
smaller companies or smaller size visit to work on our platform and our environment, so their time to market will even be faster. So as far as go-to-market, in a way we are running in all the different channels. I don't know if I can say that we have one is that dominating more than the other.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks. Last question for me is just a view to the the acquisition pipeline and what you guys are seeing, where you think you stand, and what the outlook for that might be this year and next year.
Again, as we always said, this is again based on opportunistic opportunities. As you well know by now, that all of the acquisition that we actually did over the last 5, 6, 7 years were all coming from within the business, either our competitors or our partners. We do have two, three opportunities. One of them is relatively big. But because it is relatively big versus the normal M&A's opportunities that we get, it somewhat prolonged the process. We hope that we will manage to close something beginning of next year. But again, at any given time, I can tell you that we have some sort of discussions or LOI or even due diligence that we are doing on companies. You sometimes get sellers over-promising you the companies that they are operating. Some of them, I don't know, get back in love with the company or in the selling process. As I said, we hope to close at least one by beginning of next year.
Thank you, Asaf. Thank you all, gentlemen. I really appreciate you taking all my questions, and congrats on the hard work.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Maggie Nolan. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one quick follow-up for me on the number of working days. So you said 6 working days in September this year. How many working days were there in September last year? And then how many working days for the full quarter this year versus the same quarter last year? Thanks.
Last year we had around 16 working days, 15, 16 working days versus the 6 working days that we had this year. July and August are normally considered to be full working days with 20, 21 available working days, but we do get, during those months, people leaving for their summer vacations, doing bridges between the weeks. So in that aspect, these are still considered to be a slower month versus, the first quarter of every year. But this is something that on the summer vacation aspect, this is something that is repeated every year. It's not different. I think the main negative impact that we experienced this year was the fact that we only had 6 days in September versus 15, 16 days last year.
Understood. Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. We have a follow-up question from Kevin Didi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. So, but Asaf, right, so the main reason that there were fewer days in September is because all the Jewish holidays ended up in 1 month. But that means that you should see more working days in Israel during the December quarter, correct?
Yes, in 2017, October had less working days because of the split of the holidays, and now we expect Q4 to be, again, a pickup on that. But on the other hand, and this is the balance that we get today, if on the when we get, a slow quarter on the Israeli geography because of Jewish New Year holiday, in Q4 we'll have the Christmas and Thanksgiving, but we'll have the Israeli market or the Israeli geography to compensate that. So in that aspect, when the Israeli is high, the U.S. may be low, and vice versa.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Bernstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah, so thank you once again for joining us this quarter, and we definitely hope to bring you some more good news next quarter. Thank you, guys.
This concludes the Magic Software Enterprises Ltd. Third Quarter 2018 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.